So, if you open your company's website right now and just look under the hood, there is a very high probability that like over 70% of the tracking scripts loading in the background actually belong to marketing campaigns that ended years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
Yeah.
we're talking about expired affiliate pixels, defunct retargeting tags from agencies you fired, and legacy analytics libraries that are just quietly dragging down your page speed and totally muddying your data.
Right. It's basically the ultimate digital junk drawer. We just pile things into it to launch campaigns quickly, but we almost never go back and clean it out.
And that is exactly why we're here today. Because if you're a performance marketer, the one actually managing the Google Ads and Meta campaigns, and you're ready to stop relying entirely on your developers to fix your tracking, well, welcome to this custom deep dive.
Exactly. It's time to take ownership.
Right. Our mission today is to unpack a really massive stack of advanced course materials, practitioner guides, and vendor documentation that's focused entirely on Google Tag Manager auditing and ongoing container maintenance.
Because the end goal here isn't just, knowing how to inject a tracking pixel.
Right. Any intern can do that.
Exactly. The real goal is mastering the governance of that infrastructure. When you own the tagging, you actually own the data integrity.
Absolutely. Okay, let's unpack this because the core villain of our deep dive today is what the industry calls tag bloat.
Oh, yeah. The silent killer.
Right, and I always assumed a bloated GTM container meant whoever was managing it was just, well, sloppy.
Yeah.
But the best practices documentation from web.dev paints a completely different picture.
They really do. And what they clarify is that tag bloat isn't actually a sign of marketer incompetence. It's a structural inevitability.
Hey, structural inevitability, like it's always going to happen.
Yeah, pretty much. Just because of the way Google Tag Manager is designed, it encourages rapid deployment. Agencies come in, they add their proprietary pixels, campaigns constantly rotate, and your internal teams change over.
Oh, sh
So every single container naturally drifts toward redundancy. Adding a tag is seen as a revenue-generating activity, but removing a tag is just, well, it's a maintenance chore. Nobody wants to do it.
I mean, that makes total sense. But until you treat it as a critical infrastructure task, your site is the thing that suffers. So let's get into the hard mechanics of that suffering, because the sources detail a literal, quantifiable limit to this bloat.
Right, and this is where it gets scary. GTM containers actually have a strict hard size cap of 300 kilobytes.
Wow.
Yeah. If you hit 300 KDB, GTM simply will not let you publish, period.
Yeah.
But the critical benchmark isn't even the hard limit, it's the warning
The
threshold.
UI warning, right.
Exactly. The GTM interface will throw this severe, glaring warning when you reach 70% of that limit, which is about 210 kilobytes.
See, 210 kilobytes sounds microscopic when we're talking about modern web development. I mean, you have high-res hero banner images that are 2 megabytes. Why is a 210 kilobyte script such a massive issue?
Well, it's because of how browsers process JavaScript versus images. I mean, an image just downloads and displays. Boom, done.
Right, it's just visual data.
Exactly. But when a browser downloads GTM.js dash, which is the JavaScript bundle that GTM generates, it has to parse, compile, and execute every single line of that code on the main thread.
Oh, so it literally blocks the page from becoming interactive.
Yes, it freezes the page until it's done. And to give you some context on why that 210 KB warning is terrifying, the median production container size out in the wild is only about 50 kilobytes.
Okay, that changes the perspective completely. If you're seeing that 70% warning, you don't just have a messy workspace, you have a structural crisis dragging down the user experience.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing. I've audited a container that was pushing 200 KBB before, and I looked at the active tags, and there were maybe only 20 of them actually firing. So mechanically, where is all that hidden weight coming from?
What's fascinating here is how GTM compiles its code, specifically regarding what we call orphaned components.
Orphaned components, okay.
Yeah. So when people try to clean up a container, they usually just delete the tags they aren't using anymore. But deleting a tag does not cascade delete its associated triggers or variables.
Oh. It's like deleting an app off your phone, but leaving all its cached data and preference files behind, just, silently eating up your storage space.
That is the perfect analogy, yes. Because GTM assumes you might want to reuse that specific trigger or that custom JavaScript variable for a future tag, it leaves them completely intact inside the published payload.
So they just sit there taking up space.
Exactly. And the napkin cleanup methodology explicitly flags this as the biggest danger zone in auditing. I mean, over years of campaign work, you end up with 80 or 90 orphan triggers and variables that serve absolutely zero function.
That's insane.
But they're still being compiled and downloaded by every single user visiting your site.
So how do you actually root them out? Because, I mean, GTM doesn't just have a giant delete orphans button on the dashboard.
No, I wish it did. It requires a really manual, deliberate workflow. After you delete a batch of outdated tags, you have to physically open the triggers menu and the variables menu in the interface.
Okay, manual scrubbing.
Yeah. You sort the entire list by the column that says used by, and you explicitly look for the ones marked used by zero tags. And then you have to scrub those manually to actually drop the kilobyte weight of the container.
Man, okay. So we know the weight is hidden in those orphan variables, but that raises a massive operational question. How do we safely get the actual tags out of the payload without breaking everything?
Right, because going in with a sledgehammer is a terrible idea.
Exactly. Going in and just deleting things blindly is how you end up breaking your primary conversion tracking.
It happens all the time, which is why the practitioner guides emphasize a very strict workflow, starting with understanding the fundamental functional difference between pausing a tag and blocking a tag.
Okay, this is heavily misunderstood in the performance marketing space. And honestly, I will admit I've been completely guilty of this.
A lot of people are.
Like, if a campaign ends, I'll sometimes just add a blocking trigger, you know, an exception rule that tells the tag not to fire on the order confirmation page anymore. I always figured that basically turned the tag off entirely.
Well, it stops the data from flowing to the vendor, sure. But mechanically, a blocking trigger just adds an if statement to the code.
Wait, really?
Yeah. The actual script for that vendor tag remains in the published container payload. The browser still has to download it, read it, and process the blocking rule just to know it shouldn't fire.
Wow. So I'm effectively doing absolutely nothing for the site's performance.
Right. You haven't saved a single byte of load time. Whereas using the native GTM pause function fundamentally changes the payload.
How so?
When you pause a tag, GTM completely strips that tag out of the compiled gtm.js file you published to the live site. It actively reduces the byte size immediately.
Oh, that's huge.
But it preserves the entire configuration, the specific triggers, the linked variables inside your GTM workspace so you can instantly restore it later if you need to.
Which perfectly brings us to the campaign cycle workflow from the sources. Basically, you should never immediately delete a tag just because a media buy finished on a Friday.
Exactly. Never immediately delete.
You use what they call the pause before delete timeline. So within 5 business days of a campaign ending, you go in and you pause those tags. You get the heavy code out of the browser's way.
Yep.
But you hold them in that pause state for 14 to 30 days.
Right, because we both know what happens on day 12. Stakeholders look at the final report, decide they suddenly want to run a quick lookalike test based on that audience, and ask you to turn the tracking back on.
It never fails.
If you permanently deleted it, you're hunting down developer documentation and rebuilding from scratch. If you paused it, you literally click one button.
Exactly. You wait out the 30-day window. If nobody complains and no reporting dashboards suddenly break, then you delete the tag and you follow up immediately by sweeping for its orphan variables.
Yes, exactly. Though there is one exception to that 30-day rule.
What's that?
For tags that are unequivocally dead. Universal Analytics is the prime example. Mm-hmm. UA was sunset in March 2023. If you still have analytics.js scripts or legacy GA3 property IDs in your container, that is just dead weight. Delete them immediately.
Right. Same goes for like duplicate GA4 page view tags firing to the exact same measurement ID. Just get rid of them.
Exactly.
But let's talk about the nightmare scenario, though. Say I'm running this cleanup workflow, I'm moving fast, and I accidentally delete our primary meta purchase pixel instead of pausing a legacy campaign tag.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I realize it 10 minutes later. So what does this all mean for incident recovery? How do I fix it quickly without rebuilding from scratch or having a full-blown panic attack?
Well, you rely on GTM container versions. Every single time you hit publish, GTM automatically creates a full timestamp snapshot of the entire configuration.
Okay, good.
It's a perfect safe state. You can always revert to it.
Yeah.
But there is a massive trap here that catches almost everyone.
Oh, I know this trap intimately because I have panic opened the version history before and I was staring at 40 different versions, all named updated tags or just published.
Right.
I had absolutely no idea which version was actually safe to roll back to.
Exactly. A version history is entirely useless if your naming conventions are terrible. The materials stress that a proper naming convention is your ultimate safety net. It's your audit trail.
The example they gave in the deep dive sources was brilliant. Something like audit 2026, so 610, removed 16 tags. 9 UA Legacy 4 expired pixels.
Yes.
If my conversion tracking breaks and I see that note, I know instantly what changes caused the break, and I know the exact version right below it is my safe harbor.
It turns a highly stressful incident response into just a calm, confident click of a button.
So, okay, we've paused the old campaigns, we've scrubbed the orphans, we've dropped the container weight. Intellectually, we know the site is leaner.
Yeah.
But if you walk into your CTO's office and say, trust me, the tags are cleaner, they will laugh you out of the room. As a performance marketer, how do you prove the ROI of this maintenance to your stakeholders?
You need hard data, right?
But you absolutely need hard data. You have to translate maintenance into measurable business wins. And the documentation provides a strict workflow for benchmarking this using Google Chrome's DevTools.
Yeah, and I love this part. I run speed tests on my own site all the time using the network tab in DevTools F12. You just filter by domain.googletagmanager.com to look at the size column for gtm.js.
Right, but let me guess. Half the time it tells you the load time is 0 milliseconds and the file size is almost non-existent.
Exactly. I'm like, am I doing it wrong or is my internet connection just defying physics?
You're falling victim to the warm cache pitfall. It is the single biggest mistake marketers make when trying to prove performance gains.
Okay, unpack that. Why is the browser lying to me? Because browsers are inherently lazy, which makes them efficient. If you don't explicitly disable the cache in DevTools, the browser recognizes the gtm.js file from your earlier visits.
Ah.
It basically says, I already downloaded this file an hour ago. I'm not going to request it from the server again. I'll just load it instantly from my local memory. So it shows you a 0 millisecond load time.
Wow.
It completely masks the real-world network cost of downloading your container.
So I could spend a full week cleaning up 50 tags, test it with a warm cache, and think I achieved absolutely nothing.
Precisely. That's why the golden rule here is that you must check the disable cache box in the network tab.
Disable cache. Got it.
Furthermore, you need to use the throttling dropdown and set it to fast 3G. This simulates a realistic mobile connection. Only then do you do a hard reload.
Okay, so now you're forcing the browser to pull the actual live weight of the container over a constrained network.
Yes, and when you test it that way, the before and after results are staggering.
They really are. The course material showed a real-world example where a cleanup dropped a container from 47 tags down to 31. That single audit reduced the gtm.js payload from 92 kilobytes down to 61 kilobytes.
That's a huge drop.
Yeah.
But the file size is really only half the battle. You also have to check the performance tab in DevTools, looking specifically at the scripting duration.
The scripting duration, right.
Yeah, that measures the time the browser's main thread spends actually executing all that JavaScript. In that same example, the execution time dropped from 1,840 milliseconds to 1,210 milliseconds.
That's saving over half a second of main thread execution time just by cleaning up marketing tags. That is massive for Core Web Vitals.
Huge.
But, you know, DevTools still feels like a shotgun approach to me. It tells you the whole container is slow, but it doesn't tell you which specific tag is the offender.
That is where we introduce the programmatic alternative, the GTM monitoring API, specifically the add-event callback API.
Yes. This was the biggest aha moment for me in the sources. Expand on this because it feels like a total game changer for advanced teams.
It acts like a sniper rifle for performance. DevTools shows you the total container load, but the add-event callback API allows you to hook directly into GTM's execution lifecycle.
That sounds incredibly powerful.
It is. You can configure it to measure the exact start and end times of individual tags in milliseconds. It programmatically reports that, say, your Google Ads tag takes 4 milliseconds to run, but an outdated affiliate pixel is taking 400 milliseconds and hogging the entire browser.
That's amazing. You can pinpoint the exact vendor dragging down your site. And here's where it gets really interesting. We haven't touched on the massive downstream consequence of finding and removing a heavy third-party vendor tag, like an outdated Criteo or Metapixel.
The downstream consequences are so much larger than people realize.
Right. Because a vendor tag in GTM is usually just a tiny piece of code that basically commands the browser to go initiate a totally separate connection to that third-party server. And then it downloads their entire proprietary JavaScript library. So you might delete a 5 kilobyte script from GTM, but you just prevented the browser from downloading a 150 kilobyte external library.
Exactly. It's a massive cascading effect on your total page transfer size.
Yeah.
But we have to acknowledge reality here.
Which is?
A clean container today will just become a bloated container tomorrow if you don't have a system. Moving from one-off audits to long-term continuous governance is the final piece of the puzzle.
Which introduces the tracking plan, or the SDR, the solutions design reference, the ultimate hit by a bus governance document.
That's right. It's the document that maps the why to the how. Every business KPI is mapped to a specific tag, trigger, and data layer event. But the sources highlight a fatal flaw in how most teams actually use them.
Oh, I know this one. They build this beautiful, pristine spreadsheet at the kickoff of a website redesign, and then they literally never look at it again.
Exactly. Well, which completely defeats the purpose.
The SDR must be updated alongside every single published.
Every single one. If it diverges from what is actually live in GTM, a new marketing hire will look at the SDR, see that an add-to-cart event isn't documented, and they will build a duplicate tag in GTM, not realizing someone already implemented it 6 months ago.
Right, so the SDR basically becomes a source of bloat rather than a preventative measure.
Exactly.
Now, I will argue that maintaining a 500-row spreadsheet manually is totally soul-crushing, but the practitioner guides highlight an amazing automated workaround. Simo Ahava's GTM tools add-on for Google Sheets.
Oh, it is incredible. It connects directly to your GTM API and auto-generates your documentation. It scans your latest container version and visually highlights fields that have changed, making your SDR updates nearly frictionless.
That's fantastic. Okay, so your SDR is locked in and automated. The last pillar of continuous governance is the quarterly review.
The four quarterly checkpoints, yes.
Right. The materials lay out four mandatory checkpoints you have to hit every quarter. Checkpoint one is tag relevance. This is basic housekeeping. Are these tags actually tied to ActiveSaaS contracts? If we fired that retargeting vendor 3 months ago, their code shouldn't be running.
Simple enough. Checkpoint two gets more technical. Trigger accuracy. You have to walk through your user journeys and verify the mechanisms.
Actually, let me push back on this one. I use button-click triggers for my lead gen forms all the time because they're just so much easier to set up in the DOM than asking a developer for a custom event. Why is that considered a failure in trigger accuracy?
Because it fundamentally breaks your data integrity. If you use a simple CSS button-click trigger, that event registers immediately in the DOM the millisecond the user's mouse clicks it. But what if the user forgot the at symbol in their email address?
Ah, they get a red validation error on the page.
Yep. The form doesn't actually submit to the server, but GTM already fired the conversion tag because they clicked the button.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. You end up inflating your lead counts in Google Ads with failed submissions. A proper form submission trigger, or better yet, a dedicated data layer event, waits for the server to return a successful validation response before it fires the pixel.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, checkpoint three is variable integrity. Ensuring your data layer is emitting unique transaction IDs per order and that your currency values match the correct ISO codes.
Right.
But checkpoint four is where things get deadly serious. Consent compliance. With privacy regulations tightening globally, how critical is this final step for performance campaigns?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, It is the highest stakes item on the list. The documentation explicitly details the consent mode V2 mandate, which became strictly enforced for EEA and UK traffic in July 2025.
Right.
Platforms like Google require that tags dynamically adapt their behavior based on verified user consent signals.
And the mechanical problem here is that GTM doesn't enforce a global firing order by default, right?
Correct. GTM is designed for pure speed. It fires a tag the exact millisecond its trigger condition is met. So if a user lands on your site on a fast fiber connection, your Google Ads remarketing tag could easily execute before your consent management platform, your CMP, has even finished loading its JavaScript to ask for permission.
Meaning you just fired a tracking pixel and dropped a cookie illegally before the user even saw the banner.
Exactly. It's a massive compliance failure. The data layer is temporarily queuing events, but without a strict hierarchy, chaos ensues. The only reliable fix is using tag sequencing.
Ah, the bouncer metaphor. The setup tag acts like a bouncer at a club.
That's a great way to think about it. You configure your consent initialization tag as a setup tag for every single marketing pixel. It physically stands in front of the Google Ads tag and says, "You cannot fire until I check this user's consent status."
So it forces a strict execution queue. The consent tag must resolve before the conversion tag is allowed to run.
Precisely.
Okay, let's take a breath because we have covered a tremendous amount of ground today.
We really have.
We started by diagnosing structural tag bloat, realizing that hitting that 300 KB limit isn't necessarily a sign you're a bad marketer, but rather a byproduct of how containers drift over time.
But managing that drift is entirely your responsibility. we covered the precise mechanics of the pause before delete workflow to safely reduce payload weight without risking data loss.
Right, and the vital necessity of manually scrubbing those orphan triggers and variables that just silently compile in the background.
Exactly.
We proved how to quantify that ROI using Chrome DevTools, avoiding that tricky warm cache pitfall, and using the Add Event Callback API as a sniper rifle to find heavy third-party vendor scripts.
And we locked it all down with long-term governance. Automating the SDR and running strict quarterly reviews on trigger mechanics and consent compliance.
Because mastering these technical nuances is what elevates your profile. You stop being the marketer who just blindly pastes ad copy and asks developers to install pixels, and you become the technical owner who protects data integrity and site performance. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final, slightly provocative thought to chew on. We've spent this entire deep dive optimizing the GTM container itself to run perfectly.
Right.
But what happens when the underlying data layer, the actual structural code hard-coded into your website by developers over the years, what happens when that becomes bloated?
Oh, man, that is a very different, deeply entrenched kind of technical debt.
Exactly. Years of pivoting business models, changing checkout flows, migrating e-commerce platforms. Even if your GTM container is flawlessly clean, how much is an outdated, messy data layer quietly sabotaging your page speed and data accuracy before GTM even loads?
Is the foundation that all of your analytics rests upon. If the foundation is cracked, a clean container can only do so much.
So as you dive into your workspace this week to pause those expired campaigns and scrub those orphans, take that thought with you to your next sprint planning meeting, because dealing with structural bloat doesn't just stop at the container level. Until next time, keep digging into the data.